This is Garage Logic Podcast number 112, March 6, 2019. 16 below on this day in 1890 and 69 degrees on this day in 2000. Man, 2000 had a beautiful early March. And in a moment, I'll tell you what's going to happen with the annual state high school hockey tournament blizzard.
And now, from the mayor's office, above the boathouse, on the east shore of Spoon Lake, it's Garage Logic. With Rookie on production, Chris Reavers, director of social media, John Hyde in the newsroom, and occasionally Kenny from the Krabby Coffee Shop, here is your flashlight king, fireworks commissioner, and keeper of common sense, your mayor, Joe Souchere.
This means nothing to GLers in warmer climates, but this Saturday, which is what? The championship day of the state high school hockey tournament. As much as 15 inches of snow could fall in the Twin Cities area all during the day and all during the night. Another big snowstorm looks to hit the Twin Cities.
No. I don't
approve.
You're
denying that it's going to happen?
Let's get this out of the way. Because you're... No space management restrictions have been lifted in Garage Logic. All space management responsibilities must be continuing, otherwise we won't be able to get around. So let's get this argument out of the way. Al Horseman writes, I'm a day or two behind the podcast, so this may not be relevant anymore. No, because of the snow forecast, Al, this is relevant. On the subject of snow thrower versus snow blower, I've always gone with this notion. The short answer is they are not the same. A snow thrower refers to a single-stage snow removal machine that picks up the snow in one motion and throws it out the chute with the continuation of that moment. The term single-stage describes the fact that the snow is thrown in one single movement. I think we all knew that. A snow blower refers to a two-stage snow removal machine. The auger scoops up the snow in the first stage and feeds it to the impeller, which blows the snow, second stage, out the chute. The blower part seems appropriate since the impeller operates much like a fan, except it is much more powerful. So he's weighing in on the side of calling it a single stage, a snow thrower.
Why okay. The horn?
Appropriate.
Oh, appropriate. I'm sorry. I missed that. I'm sorry.
Dave writes... Hi, Joe. Enjoying the podcast, but really missed the live call-in show. I'm writing to correct you and others, an Ace Hardware store owner, calling your Toro snow thrower a snow blower. Since you are a fact-based show, I would suggest that you dig out your maintenance user manual that you received when you purchased it. If it says that it is a snow blower, feel free to send it to me, and I will eat it. The machine throws the snow. It does not blow it. I would think that you will remember if you found it or not. I also remember that you asking what was the name for the Sears Home Electronics. I do not remember if you found it or not. It was Silvertone. They also use it for their musical instruments, and your guitar player should have recognized the name Silvertone. They made some good ones. I had to lug a Silvertone trombone one summer to band practice, but lost interest after a month. Didn't have the lips for it. Thanks for the show. I enjoy listening and learning and reading your Sunday column. This is David Lujan. I'm sorry. Hasn't snowblower entered the lexicon as a common term?
I think so.
Plus, you could make the argument that in a two-stage, the second stage really isn't anything being blown. It's being thrown just like a single stage. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to continue that argument. I just don't want to continue.
You know what that is, though? Isn't that almost dueling hardware Ace owners?
This guy didn't say he was a hardware store owner.
I thought the other guy said he was an Ace.
Get some scan.
No. The first guy that you read said he owned an Ace hardware store.
Al?
Yes. I know you read that. Yes,
no,
you did.
No. The sentence you heard.
Extra coins today.
We threw in a couple of extra.
Are you listening to Tantler?
Yes, we threw in a couple of extra today.
Show me your intense listening face. Here's the sentence you heard,
okay,
Reavers.
Here we go.
I am writing to correct you and others, and then parenthetically he said, an Ace Hardware store owner, close parentheses, calling your Toro snake. He was referring to Mike Rattaloni.
That's what I was going to get to, but he doesn't own the store. He just shops there.
That's neither here nor there to the emailer.
I thought Mike owned it.
What did I tell you? You're supposed to be listening intently. Remember yesterday I thought there was a King Kong Brody in addition to a King Kong, who died?
Bundy.
Yep. And Andrew in Rochester says there was indeed a wrestler by the name of King Kong Brody in addition to King Kong Bundy. King Kong Brody, better known as Bruiser Brody, was a popular wrestler, especially in Puerto Rico in the 70s and 80s until his death in 1986. Brody was slashed across his stomach with a large knife in the shower area of the locker room at a wrestling show in Puerto Rico. Brody's death, believed by many to be an ordered hit, is one of the most horrific tragedies in the wrestling business, as his killer was cleared of the charge. Brody's killer, fellow wrestler Jose Gonzalez, claimed self-defense despite many wrestlers believing otherwise, as Brody was owed a large sum of money by World Wrestling Council promoter Carlos Colon. Brody would have likely survived the attack, but it took paramedics an hour to reach him due to traffic and the thousands of fans at the show. Brody would later die at the hospital.
Mm. King Kong Brody.
King Kong Brody!
What was that from?
Guy Green used to do a Wally Carbo impression. He would always be levying a fine against King Kong Brody. And Steve wants us to know that Jordy supplied the wrong word for us. Psychoteratic. We thought that was the word that was used to describe a falling out with nature. It turns out that psychoteratic is the malaise felt by not being in nature. And Steve writes, I believe the correct word is ecoignosi, which is the ignorance of ecology, a generational detachment from the environment. I accept that.
Gotcha.
And he linked me to a big article that I started to read and I didn't like it. So, daylight savings time starts Sunday.
I'm ready for it.
2 a.m.
Florida Senator Mark Rubio is reintroducing the Sunshine Protection Act, which would make daylight savings permanent across the U.S. Most of the nation will set their clocks forward 1 hour this Sunday, and Senator Rubio is hoping it to make the change stick. He is expected to. The bill was originally filed on March 12, 2018, but it did not advance. Then Governor Rick Scott had just signed a bill into law to have Florida stay on daylight savings time year-round. Earlier that week, Congress still hasn't approved the measure. Studies have shown many benefits of year-round daylight savings time, which is why Florida's legislature overwhelmingly voted to make it permanent last year. All right, so in Florida, that's all the time, huh?
I'm all for it.
I didn't know that.
Because it's a farming thing. Isn't that why we started doing
sure.
it? Yeah.
Supporters of a permanent daylight saving time say the increased sunlight in the evening hours would prevent car crashes, decrease crime, and save energy. But the law would mean that for some winter months, the sun wouldn't rise until after 8 a.m.
Oof.
Possibly endangering your students.
Oh, I suppose. Kids waiting for the bus stop.
Kids at the bus. Darkness for our children in the morning, especially for students who walk to school or are standing at a bus stop in the dark, causes great safety concerns for us, said somebody in Florida.
Okay.
All right. I have a horse in the race. I really don't care either way. To me, it's rather a festive, almost holiday-like atmosphere to fall back in the fall mm-hmm. and spring ahead in the spring.
We should check the sunset times.
Around 5:30 right now, isn't
it? Boy, you found me a good lake to look at. We have a large screen in here, ladies and gentlemen, and we're staring at a picture of I want warm, soothing images on the screen.
This is out east Lake Winnipesaukee.
Winnipesaukee. That's yes. in New Hampshire, I believe.
Okay.
I believe that's New Hampshire.
You're correct.
Boy, you know your lakes.
Oh, I know my lakes.
Mm-hmm.
I know. You know who knows jewelry? Moeller. R.F. Moeller Jeweler. You got to face a fact, guys. Your daughter's engagement ring is bigger than the one you gave your wife. So maybe it's time to start thinking about upgrading hers. So the next time you show up at a family event, she can, you know, hold up her hand and say, I've been catching up. Moeller's have been helping guys like this for 67 years. They will take her original diamond in on trade and provide you with a diamond that will blow her away every time she looks at it. And if I know some guys who've done this, and they have told me that if I would have known how happy this would have made her, I probably should have done this 5 or 10 years ago. Moeller's staff has registered jewelers, certified gemologists, and certified gemologist appraisers. They're qualified to show you the difference between Moeller diamonds and the diamonds that other jewelers sell. And if you're worried about the price, let me tell you something. I've known these people for a long time. Moeller doesn't like to lose a sale because of price, and he never has. And if you don't believe that, go online and look at their reviews. R.F. Moeller Jeweler, 50th in France and Edina. Ford in Cleveland in St. Paul, Gabade Common in downtown Minneapolis, and a great website at rfmoeller.com.
Latte Schmate. Here's Joe Souchere.
Hi.
Damn, that is a neat-looking lake,
you
isn't it?
You spooked me.
I got a thought. This is happening all over the country. The closer you get to the tallest buildings, the one-party-only elected officials go into the salon, and they dream up ways to curtail your freedoms, and they dream up ways to impose regulatory behavioral dynamics on you, and they'll prevent you from buying a pack of menthol cigarettes, and they'll ban plastic bags. And the latest in St. Paul is that a vote is expected to be taken on the proposed banning of certain takeout container materials.
Yes.
Including the, or most principally, what's called black plastic or styrofoam to-go containers. And I've got a little knowledge about this because I talked to some restaurateurs about this. I talked to Dave Cossetta, who spent a lot of money in St. Paul building a restaurant. He employs a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And he has extraordinary expenses during the year just to buy these takeout containers.
Right.
I bought one Monday night at Cossetta's.
Okay.
Two orders of Mastacelli that came in the black plastic.
Yep.
Because they can have a lid on it and they don't spill.
It's secured. It's better than the other white ones.
And I'm building up to a point. And Cossetta told me, look, if I put that in a container that would spill, I'm just losing a customer. They're not going to come back if they get home and this stuff is slopped all over the place. Well, it turns out that Eureka Recycling and maybe other recycling companies, they claim they can't recycle the black plastic because their whatever technology they have on this line of recyclable material going through the factory doesn't read black plastic. Yes.
How long until Eureka's being claimed of racism?
Well, that's another
problem.
You're
kicking out black plastic. Stop that. You're discriminating.
So the city wants to, because in the salon, they figure it's their role, never mind the streets, it's their role to save the earth.
Right.
And they think they're going to save the earth by eliminating black plastic to-go containers. Never mind what that does to the little mom-pa Hmong restaurant or Cossetta's or Pat Mancini or any of them. The catch is this. Many large food corporations, Johnsonville, for example, or whatever, they will still be allowed to sell their products in the grocery store in these so-called non-recyclable black plastic containers.
Huh?
So
sure.
I'm leading up to a point. Mm-hmm. Leading up to a point. Well, A, that's unfair to the local business owner. You're letting Johnsonville, I'm just picking Johnsonville arbitrarily, you're letting Johnsonville load up the shelves at Cub with brats and whatever, and many times they're in this black plastic or they're in this that black styrofoam tray.
Right.
But you're going to go to a guy in St. Paul who has spent millions and millions and millions of dollars building up his restaurant business, a restaurant that's been in St. Paul since, what's Cossetta, is about 1911.
Yes.
And you're going to tell him, you must now go and spend whatever apparently you're going to have to spend to find a product to replace that black plastic because Eureka can't recycle it. The point I've been leading up to is this. Why in the hell don't you put some of the responsibility on the recycler? You go to Eureka and say, look, you got the gig here. You have to figure out a way. Buy a machine that'll read black plastic.
Right.
Why is it up to the business owner to always fulfill the dreams of the salon? Yes.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
I'm on to something here.
Get the coins ready.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Now, because I'm not all that familiar, but St. Paul already takes care of the garbage.
Well, private haulers do, but they're organized now by the city.
Is the city in charge of recycling yet?
Well, I think it's a quasi-government control because they've appointed Eureka to do the bid.
Are you seeing my link here? Are they in some way using this as a mechanism to gain a hold of not only the garbage but the recycling as well?
No.
You don't think so?
No. What I think it is that, well, here's a quote from Pat Mancini. It's unfortunate that restaurateurs are some of the family-run small businesses of St. Paul and are targeted with this, Pat Mancini said. We don't start with the top with the biggest companies that really need to do the recycling. And my point is, you people in the salon, you're going after your easiest targets. If you're going to ban this, why are you allowing major food conglomerates from the United States to sell their products here in the very containers you're telling a local business owner he or she can't use? Why instead isn't there some aggressive means made to go to the recyclers and say, look, it's not Cosetta's job to be in the recycling business.
Right.
You're in the recycling business. Mancini and Cosetta and Wong Tong and whoever else, they're more than happy to put their recycling in a bin that gets picked up. But you, the recycler, you better figure out how to use it. The other problem is that apparently China isn't buying a lot of our recycling anymore. They were a big market for this stuff. And there is some suspicion that it's getting picked up, but it might be ending up in a landfill. I don't know that for a fact.
Why isn't China buying it anymore?
Well, because of trade tariffs and what have you. You would think China would have their own. They would have enough of their own. Why would they come here and buy a container ship full of my newspapers?
But back to Eureka, you said it was stated that their machine doesn't read the black plastic.
Apparently it can read clear plastic.
So they've taken out the human worker.
Yeah.
Why isn't there Fred and John should be picking out black plastic physically rather than it going through the scanner or the reader?
Yeah, I guess the larger point is it's another example that the salon is more than happy to take congratulations from the Sierra Club. They're more than happy to take congratulations from environmental activists. Oh, you brave city council. Thank you for telling the restaurants. In restaurants, basically right now, is the only industry in the city of St. Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's hyperbole.
Right.
The only thriving industry in the city of St. Paul are restaurants, brew pubs.
Yep.
Cafes, what have you. And you're going to them. And you're putting the onus of responsibility on them. They're more than willing to recycle. They've been recycling. When are one of you going to have the wisdom to say, well, wait a minute, this isn't entirely reasonable that we expect the business owner to do everything. How about you have better recycling?
That should be priority.
Go find a damn machine that can read this black plastic. I don't know what kind of scanning devices they have, but maybe there's a fortune to be made by some entrepreneur in his garage coming up with a new means of scanning recyclables to gather more of them.
And I told you Minneapolis is doing the same thing. I told you this a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine owns a bar. He was told he can't use glassware that is rewashable, that's reused. He was told he can't use that. Instead, he has to use glasses that are disposable, that they have to throw away. And he thought, that's the dumbest thing
I've
ever heard of.
Makes no sense.
Why are you making me? Because in their mind, in Minneapolis, now I'm speaking, in their mind, the glasses that he was rewashing and reusing could end up in the garbage.
Mm-hmm.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of.
What couldn't end up in the garbage?
Exactly.
Right.
If that's your logic, then you know, like, you can throw a dead horse in there and they'll pick it up.
There's another way to look at this. There's another way to look at this. Basically, the average citizen I'm going to say, and I could be out on a limb here, I would say the average citizen is conscientiously approving of the idea of recycling.
Yeah.
I certainly am on board.
Right. What's to argue with?
It makes a lot of sense to me that my milk carton can become somebody's lawn furniture. Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense to me. I'm all for it.
Right.
It could be that our desire to recycle has outpaced technology's ability to recycle it. It could be that our desire to recycle, for example, I've had to pluck those plastic containers out of our recycling bag at home, knowing that they're not recyclable. But I'm eager to recycle them. I wish somebody come up with a $1 million idea to recycle the black plastics, the plastic sleeves that newspapers come in. I'm all for not choking a whale to death with plastic. Right. I'm on board.
Right. Don't people use those as the dog poop bags?
Yeah, they do.
They double up.
But it could very well be that our desire to be environmentally sensitive is far outpacing the means that the recycling companies have to keep pace with our desires. That's my thought. That's my deep thought. Hmm. And my second deep thought is, why don't you people in the salon get the cojones to go to the people you've hired to do the recycling and tell them to get their act together so that restaurant owners don't have to increase their expenses tenfold to buy approvable to-go containers, which are only going to mean the cost is passed on to the consumer or people will get laid off.
Right. It's working.
There's no linking among Mysterians. There's no understanding of consequences among Mysterians. They act by the seat of their pants day after day after day. They are adult children. No one is stopping to say, well, wait a minute here. Why are we telling Mrs. Vang that she can't sell her chow mein in a black plastic container? Why don't we get to the bottom of why that black plastic container is causing some trouble for Eureka? We don't get that.
No.
Because Mysterians, tragically, in my estimation.
It's recycling.
Don't
it's
link.
Rubbish.
They
it's
don't
trash.
Link. They don't link.
Climate change.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Oscar.
All right, we'll be back in just a moment.
This guy has seen more urban wildlife than a DNR field agent with a PhD, Joe Souchere.
You want proof of that? That I've seen more urban wildlife than a DNR field agent?
Yes.
Here's today. Here it is right there. Three deer on Edgecombe Road right there. Three young ones. Just
really?
Walking along.
They're just walking. Look at that.
Having the time of their lives. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Where's the food at?
They're running onto Yarmo's.
I don't know. Gorgeous young things.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to hit them, but I missed with my car.
Do they nibble on...
I'm kidding.
Do they nibble on nutrients
arborvitaes,
around your yard?
Arborvitaes.
Oh, they do. That's their favorite? Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, let's try to break this down. David writes, Representative Jerry Munson has a picture of a $10 million solar panel that is completely covered in snow and has been for several weeks. All right. Listen to this now. This is major.
Well, that wasn't your doozy.
Oh, I'm getting to the doozy. Ant, let's go to Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Okay.
Are you listening intently? Show me your intent listening face. Mm-hmm. When a homeowner invests several thousand dollars installing solar panels on their property, the hope is that a new building or a neighbor's tree won't rise up to block the sun. Ann Arbor officials are now considering whether people who go solo, I'm sorry, people who go solar or want to go solar should be granted solar access rights.
Wow.
City Council voted unanimously Monday night, March 4, to approve a resolution from the city's Energy Commission to move forward on developing such an ordinance. It could give landowners the ability to register solar easements to preserve solar access on their properties in perpetuity. The Energy Commission brings this forward, asking that we devote some resources to studying the issue, said Councilmember Jack Eaton, a Democrat from the 4th Ward and a sponsor of the resolution. We want homeowners and property owners to install solar panels, Eaton said. It's going to be a complex issue with a lot of interest to balance. It's going to be a challenge to weigh the competing interests for, you know, air rights and solar rights, and it will be interesting to see how this plays out, said Councilmember Ali Ramlawi, a Democrat. But I'd rather see us being proactive and trying to get ahead of these issues that are coming at us. All right. That's because proactive is foghornable. The council has directed the city administrator to work with the city's planning manager, city attorney, sustainability office, energy commission, and planning commission this year to develop the ordinance for city council consideration. It could also go to the county for consideration at the county level. The Energy Commission and City Council suggest looking at lessons learned from similar ordinances in other communities such as Boulder, Colorado, which limits shading from new construction or trees. The approved resolution suggests allowing establishment of solar access boundaries on properties and looking at vegetation trimming standards and building setback requirements. The final ordinance needs to consider that future city development may involve taller building heights, particularly downtown. It's well worth the effort, another Democrat said, Jeff Hayner. Disconnecting from the grid is the way to go, and consider this more supportive of our sustainability initiatives. Well, let's read between the lines. If I got a great big tree in my yard,
yep,
and it blocks my neighbor's newly installed solar panel on his roof— what this sounds like to me is that as the installer of the solar panel, I'd have an argument to make before the planning commission that my neighbor has to cut down his big tree.
Is this windmilling?
I think so, because you have this story today from NPR.
Okay.
NPR, which is completely on board the template, it's part of their narrative to be hysterical and we're all going to die from climate change. That's an NPR narrative, like it is with most news gathering organizations. Here's an impressive figure. This story, by the way, is completely unrelated to Ann Arbor, but you'll see I'm able to provide a link.
You're linking these two together. We'll see that right away.
The headline is, "Why Our Trees Are Like Climate Change Fighting Superheroes."
Why are trees, okay.
In Ann Arbor, we might have to get rid of them if you put up a solar panel.
Right.
But today, out of the NPR newsroom comes this story. By Paul Huffner, "Why Our Trees Are Like Climate Change Fighting Superheroes." Here's an impressive figure, $5 billion a year. That's how much those trees outside your window reduce energy bills in the U.S.
Okay.
Since trees pull CO2 directly from the atmosphere, they absorb as much as 20% of our annual greenhouse gas emissions. But wait, there's more. University of Minnesota Center for Forest Ecology Director Lee Freelick says your trees are like climate change fighting superheroes. About 48% of the tree is actually carbon that was taken out of the atmosphere, Freelick said during a recent interview with NPR meteorologist Paul Huttner. So we can store a lot of carbon in trees for a long time. A report by Climate Central says trees in the Twin Cities alone remove 7.3 million tons of CO2 a year. May I have a "we don't know that"? See, you weren't listening intently. You're supposed to be listening
that.
Intently.
That's pretty quick.
That could also be here's today's environmental statistic. Sure. About 48% of the tree is actually carbon. All right. And a report by Climate Central says trees in the Twin Cities alone remove 7.3 million tons of CO2 a year.
That's we don't know that.
That was here's today's environmental. That was an ass statistic. But it's still probably only 1 or 2% of all the CO2 emissions in a metro area like this, Freelich said. It sounds to me like he has no idea. In order to really harness the power of trees as climate change solutions, we'll need to plant a lot more trees across much larger areas, he said. Okay. So here's this. And I'm pro-tree.
Right.
I like a nice tree.
Almost had a relationship with one tree.
I've never had a relationship with a tree, but I've counseled a tree.
Right.
I've comforted a tree. The old tree in Minneapolis that was about to go down. I gave it a pat. I didn't hug it. I just gave it a little. How you doing?
Right.
Good luck.
I'm pro tree. So I'm inclined to believe this NPR story. Trees are important. Mm-hmm. In Ann Arbor, the hell with the trees.
They're the enemy.
If right. you're going to block the solar panel. These people cannot get their act together. They just can't link.
Well, it proves they're just throwing crap against the wall to see what sticks. That's exactly what this proves.
Plus, if you have solar panels on your roof in Minneapolis or St. Paul right now, they're under 3 feet of snow.
Right. They're not very effective.
I'm curious.
Yes, you in the back.
If a tree was, in fact, a superhero, which I'm on board with, what kind of costume is that?
Well, I was thinking we need to come up with names.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not enough to just say birch or pine or oak or maple.
It's got
to
have some oomph.
It's got to have power, and it's got to be a superhero. In Ann Arbor, Michigan, they're contemplating a law to inhibit tall buildings and to remove trees from shading people's solar panels. Couple hundred miles here to the west,
yep.
Right here in NPR. Today's hysteria story is why our trees are like climate change fighting superheroes.
We need to get these people together.
We need to plant more trees, only to have these same people in this NPR news article. These same people will be stepping forward when they catch on to the problem trees cause for solar panels.
I think that story should be brought to NPR, so they can see how...
The Ann Arbor story?
Yes. I would like to hear where they stand.
That's from a site called Michigan Alive. Ann Arbor considering law to prevent tall buildings and trees from shading people's solar panels. And there's a picture of a house here with a helpful picture of a solar panel on its roof. But there's not a drop of snow in the yard.
And watch. These frauds will get together. They'll huddle. Because they got to huddle and figure out the next plan.
No, you'll go in the salon to huddle.
And it's going to be height restrictions on trees.
Well, you're absolutely right.
That's what they'd come up with.
And height restrictions on buildings. And here's a picture in NPR of trees framing clouds on East River Flats Park along the Mississippi River in Minneapolis on July 24th, 2016. This story was printed March 6th, 2019. But that's all they could do is go into the file and find me a picture of a tree taken 3 years ago.
Go right out. So there's trees everywhere.
I like
you don't
trees.
Have to have leaves on them. Give me a winter shot of a tree.
I told you this one time. It's rather trivial, but I'll repeat it.
What is it?
I would say if there's 100 photographs in a newspaper.
Okay.
In the file? No. In the daily newspaper, that wouldn't work. Okay. It would work on maybe a big, thick Sunday New York Times. If there was 100 photographs of something, war, pestilence, famine, travel to Puerto Rico, 99 of those pictures, somewhere in the picture, there will be a tree.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't really paid any attention to that.
Hold that thought.
Go get it right now.
He's going to conduct
the experiment.
He's going
to go grab the Star Tribune.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Hold that thought.
All right, so...
He's going to grab the enemy paper.
How many did he say?
He said 90%.
Okay.
Did he say 90%?
No, I wasn't listening.
I kind of wasn't either, to be honest.
I was looking for this. I was looking for that.
Here's today's environmental statistic.
Why do you note this?
I only note this because there's probably more trees now than there was 200 years ago.
Did you say 90% of the photos? Is that what you said?
I would say 99%.
99%.
Here's the play photo.
We were close.
On the cover of the Star Tribune is something about Target. Are there trees in the picture?
Now, you're talking just photos, not graphs and...
Photos.
The photos.
Would you corroborate, please, here? The photo? Is that a tree? Is that a tree?
Yes, tree.
Here's a story. Minneapolis Scooter Squadron to turn Armada.
And
there's a picture of some people on a scooter. See trees in the background?
That is correct.
Here's a picture of young sisters who survived in the wild. Trees there?
Vegetation, yeah. Got them.
Okay, we turn to... I don't count in pictures taken indoors.
No.
Here's a frustrated Trump ends preferential trade treatment for India. I don't see a tree in that picture. All right. Okay. the terrible tornado down in Alabama.
Yeah,
see the trees everywhere. See the trees. That's an indoor. These are indoors.
So wait a minute. So now you're changing that to outdoor photos.
I should have said outdoor.
Outdoor photos. That's what you meant.
Now you're getting to the boring part of the paper.
That's the front section.
How about the comics?
What Marmaduke do?
Variety. I'm not going to count Variety. Here's
Variety. I bet you'd get a tree or two.
Oh, you can find
doors
a tree.
Open. Minneapolis aims to unlock city secrets. Witch's Hat water tower.
I can
there.
See them.
Do you see the trees?
Yes.
All right. Park may be renamed after Mondale. Do you see the trees? Have you seen spring? Picture of a kid with a big snow. You see the trees?
Yep, right back there, the tops.
Hockey, early St. Patrick's Day party will tie up traffic. Do you see trees there? Right in there?
Right in front of there, yeah, in front of the XL Energy
Center. Yeah, yeah.
Good luck parking in your city this weekend.
Here's a picture of the Midtown Global Market. I don't see a tree, but
right above it,
unfortunately, 18 dogs died in a fire at a Stacy boarding kettle.
You see
the trees?
Yeah.
See the trees? All right. I'm going to stop this now because it's rather pointless. Here's the business cover. Eden Prairie to get tenant headquarters. You see the trees?
I got that one right here.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
Well, look at this one. Yeah. Even on back of the variety section, what do you see?
I see in the birding column, I see a bird in a tree. So in Ann Arbor, we're going after the trees if you got solar power. And here in the old Twin Cities, we got a beautiful piece telling us how important the trees are to fighting climate change, to the point where the trees might be considered climate change fighting superheroes. Climate change fighting superheroes. We're going to be joined by Patrick today because there'll be no podcast 113 until Monday. So the GL podcast will be on hiatus tomorrow and Friday, but you'll still be able to listen to whatever Reavers comes up with as a best of. Hello, Patrick.
So are you escaping maybe before the heart attack snow shows up this weekend? Or
yes, 15 inches of snow Saturday.
And the heavy stuff too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Roofs will be collapsing.
Warm and wet, baby.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Nah,
they can't really be serious about 15 inches.
Well, I heard something to the effect of 6 to 8 inches during the day, and that continues 6 more inches maybe overnight Saturday.
Maybe you'd be lucky if it became rain. Anyway, yeah, that's, you think you got problems. I'm sitting in Naples, in downtown Naples, at a little bench, and the wife is in the store, which was the scene of the $90 butter dish, so we can only imagine what might occur today while we're in there.
You're going to have to refresh my memory on the $90 butter dish.
Well, you needed a butter dish for the little condo down here, and so she said we need a butter dish, and she came out with one that had a sterling top on it.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a $90 butter dish.
That's too expensive for a butter dish.
And the bad thing is it only holds one stick, too.
Yeah.
So you got to, not only is it $90, but you got to change the stick like 3 times a week.
That's right.
Patrick, my question for you would be, how long last year, I know your memory's pretty good, how long did it take for you to inquire about the cost of this butter dish?
No, I almost immediately. Well, no, I've known. I think we talked about this about 3 years ago, the $90 butter dish. And she, in fact, as we were walking in, kind of turned around, winked at me, and said, "This is where I got the $90 butter dish." taunted me a little.
That's a taunting. Update.
We're down here with the Hoy Polloi in Naples. Our one annual visit.
Update us on the clock.
On the clock? What do you mean now?
Well, you were going to leave the clock in the box and
Oh, yeah. She, you know what? Didn't work as well as I thought because she was not at all surprised it was still in the box. She hardly even complained. And now she has put the clock up. It took oh, roughly 4 minutes, I would say.
So, right.
You know, I probably could have done it. You know what I'm not real good at, though, is when you're trying to put them on the hooks and you got to line up that the hook that's in the back, that little hole that is supposed to hang.
Yeah,
on.
Yeah, it can be a problem.
I can scratch up a wall pretty good trying to get that thing lined up. But, I think we were all better served. We just waited for her to do it. But it is nice to know what time it is when you're in the big room now. So that's good.
In my mind's eye, I see you putting the hammer down, getting your hands behind it, and then saying, "Where is that?"
What happened? Well, this in fact is the worst time of the year. On the occasions that I'm home, when the two times a year when you have to change the time, right?
Yeah.
The one in our kitchen at home, you kind of got to stretch up there. I've been known to spend 10 minutes trying to get that after changing that one to get
that
one back up there. That's really a tough Rubik's Cube, that one.
Pat, did I read correctly that Sanoa was sent to the Mayo Clinic to have his heel worked on?
Oh, this thing, though, dog. This was, I was going to say, they say it was like a serious dog bite. It was terrible. It was, and they, you know, he shows up and he said, well, they knew he had his heel cut, but nobody told them that they should be alarmed about this. And when they finally got a look at it, when the second day he was there, they were scared to death, and they had it cleaned and sutured down here. But the thing, there's no skin down there, you know, in the back of your heel.
It's, right.
When they put the sutures in, there's, you know, it's not like you're not sticking any meat down there. It got to about 80% healed, and then it wasn't healing anymore. So they said, all right, let's send him to some place that's going to fix this. But his birthday is May 11th. He'll be 26, and that might be a reasonable date that he'll be back playing for them, because I think this is like almost a three-week process of making sure the dang thing is closed up for him. It was a brutal cut, I guess, and then it got infected, and, of course, nobody, you know, and the folks in the Dominican were not in a panic over this, as they should have been. You know, so they should have, after about 3 days, put him on a plane and sent him to play.
But, so he's had no spring training?
Not swinging the bat or running. He's been doing, the upper body torso stuff. We saw him a couple of days ago. He still looks like he hasn't put on the pounds or anything. He still looks like he's in good shape. But, it's going to be probably 3 weeks before he's doing what we used to call them workouts, Joe.
Right.
Now we call them baseball activity.
I know. That drives me crazy.
Baseball activity.
Yeah. Go ahead, you in the back there.
Pat, I forgot to bring this up last Friday when you were on, but this time of the year is always reminding me of one of my favorite segments in sports talk history, when Joe was going through the Twins' preseason and regular season calendar, figuring which days he could take off, not realizing that they had switched radio stations.
Right.
in remembrance of the March where I had six radio shows. It was kind of fun. we were supposed to have 21 and we had six because there were 15 Twins games. That's when the mayor was doing drive time like he should be doing.
Right. Well, we both agree on that.
You know what, though, Mayor?
Yeah.
As long as games go now, if that was 5 or 6 years ago, you would have missed a lot of time too.
Right.
They'd still be playing at 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
That's right. Anyway. That's right. Say the Gophers beat Purdue. Does that put them in the tournament?
Yeah, that was quite a scene at the end. We got kind of a modest floor of a court rush, and then they introduced the seniors, and it was probably as festive of a scene as we've had in Williams Arena in years, I would say. And I think they're in the tournament. Yeah, they got they let them catch them, and then there was a, hey, Reedy, help me out. What was that long review? I was watching it in pots alone. What was the long review before they decided to let the big gopher shoot a free throw and then give him the ball?
They were trying to decide if Coffey was the person who had knocked the ball out of bounds. And
But had they already called a flagrant foul?
Yes. And so they were trying to determine.
Well, what did the guy do to Stockman? It looked like he was just fighting for a rebound.
Apparently, the way that it was explained was that they had to determine if the foul occurred while either the Gophers had possession or Purdue had possession, because apparently that would have changed how that call was enforced. That's the way I understand it.
You know, I really like the modern the college basketball and the NBA, too, Joe, because we got to figure out in the last 2 minutes who knocked the ball out of bounds. And that can take about, six, 7 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And they're over there watching on a 12-inch screen like you used to have known in your TV room. And it takes – how long did that last one take?
Oh, God, forever.
Gave the ball over 6-7 minutes.
It did. It took forever.
Yeah.
And our Wild lost, and I'm with Dubnyk, the guy who beat him on a shootout play, stopped.
Twice.
He stopped twice.
Twice.
He stopped.
Why don't they just put a clock on these guys and say you got to shoot within 3 seconds or something?
Yeah.
I don't know. They've gotten slow motion, but did you see Boogs disagreed with him?
Yeah. I was surprised.
Boogs says, no, I thought he was still making progress.
Well, he was, but the progress of a snail.
They got a little life in their step now with these new guys. They got some speed. They have joined the modern NHL. They got rid of two big, bruising power forwards, Coyle and Niederreiter, and they got some guys who can zip around a little bit.
Yeah, the guy they got from Nashville is pretty good. Is
Fiala.
Fiala.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he almost got in a fight with a Nashville guy last night.
Forsberg.
The Nashville guy, Forsberg, was laughing at him.
P.K. Subban got a goal. You see who P.K.'s new girlfriend is?
I believe it's Lindsey Vonn.
Lindsey Vonn.
Yeah.
Dang, almighty.
Yeah.
You know. Tiger's loss is P.K.'s game.
Right.
Let's put it that way.
Speaking of Tiger, he dropped out of Arnie's tournament with the bad neck.
Well, I hate to bring this up, but you know what the flying rumor is?
What?
Down here in the golf circles, and it hasn't really even been hidden anymore, that The massage parlor.
Yep.
There's numerous golfers might be involved in this.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
They must really have bad backs.
Including some including some deer or hart who might have dropped out of Bay Hill, but we're not naming any names.
Well, it's the first thing I thought of was Tiger, because it's in Jupiter where he lives.
Yeah. Oh, that's and there's a lot of golfers around there, and they got tournaments right there. And they say that Robert Kraft isn't the biggest name, so that's telling you something.
Right. Well, yeah. I saw the gals who work at the Orchid Spa there, and I don't understand the attraction.
Did you stop down there when you were down there, Joe?
No, I've been there a couple times.
Joe, maybe you had to. You know, my neck hurts. Can you get this kink out of my neck?
Those were the two. You know, and then somebody would say, you want a happy ending, and Joe would say, what? My back's fine.
they would say to Joe, you know, we do other stuff. He says, no, I'm just here for my neck. Can
I just
you
want
fix
my
neck
worked down.
What are you doing?
hey, what are you doing? My neck is up here.
Hey, leave me alone. Oh, God.
That would be, you would never be, no. But Bob was apparently being serviced by the owner, who's in her 50s.
Oh, yeah.
And then a woman who's worked there for years, who is not a Chinese sex slave. So
I see.
Bob was very ethical in his massage.
Ah, of course.
Good for him.
It's all very tawdry. It's all very tawdry.
I can't wait to
see the. You did see the. I told you about this last week, though. The New York Post cover.
No.
You know, we had Deflategate with Brady in the football.
Yeah.
Inflate, great.
Right.
Inflate Gate.
I can't wait, and I hope he has the courage to do it, but Caliendo coming out as Belichick to do the Robert Kraft press conference will be spectacular.
Yeah. Oh,
I doubt that Frank would do that.
I know he wouldn't. I know.
Happy endings happen every day.
The station that has the Patriots, you know, our, I told you this last week, my guy Maserati, they were not allowed to talk about it.
Pat, is the ball club playing today?
No game. This is one of their two off days, and down here they're treated like Christmas Eve when they have those days that they locker up. Nobody goes to the ballpark. The minor leaguers are, I think yesterday they officially reported, and today they're working out. But the Major League Clubhouse stadium is all locked up. So
this explains your availability to go to the $90 butter dish store.
We're going to go down there. And here's the other drama. We have the 10th birthday of the oldest grandchild coming up. And there's toggery to be acquired, I would think. And you got to go to Naples for that.
Oh, you got to get the stuff, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
All right, Pat, thank you.
All right. Have a good weekend.
You too. Thank you.
All right.
Can I have my board back?
Yes. No, you can.
What'd you think?
Yeah.
What? Why are we starting to go Scotland on that call?
So, with our new board here, there's apparently a few wires that are zigging when they should be zagging.
You hear that, everybody?
Is that Reaver's stomach?
Can I turn my microphone? Can you hear
here
that?
Here we go.
Somebody's drilling through almost as though a
they are going
break
to the vault to get the riches.
Can you correct that problem?
Yeah. We're you know what we are? We're one day closer to making that happen.
Here's a man who spends hours in hardware stores sifting through the nuts and bolts of life, Joe Soucheray.
This next story brought to you by R.F. Muller Jewelry. Born in Cleveland and St. Paul, 50th in France and Edina. Gabaday Common in Minneapolis, helping klutzes like us for 67 years do the right thing. Here's why I hate social media.
Why?
What's Deadline? Is that a sports site, Deadline?
I'm unfamiliar.
Deadline reported that Will Smith has been cast to play Serena and Venus Williams' father.
Oh, yeah, Richard.
In a new biopic about the tennis stars, and some leftists are not happy about it.
Deadline Hollywood is an entertainment Hollywood, TMZ style.
Apparently Smith, who is black, is not black enough to play Richard Williams. Sports reporter Clarence Hill Jr., I don't know who he is, was disappointed about the casting of Smith because colorism matters.
What?
Colorism matters. Love Will Smith, but there are other black actors for this role, said Hill in a tweet posted Monday. And that post has racked up well over 2,000 likes. That's the end of the story. So some anonymous Twitter fool can put that out there, and it becomes a story. It's ruining America. It's ruining our life.
I love the fact that, you know,
colorism matters.
One of the most successful actors, regardless of race, one of the most successful actors in Hollywood that would make this movie a ton of money.
Yeah.
No. We can't.
Black. Call me up a photo of Richard Williams, please, the father of Venus and Serena. What degree of blackness do we have to achieve here?
If memory serves me correctly, was he not a nice guy growing up? Wasn't he I'm not going to say abusive, but he was a very...
He had a plan for the girls.
Exactly.
He was stern with the girls.
Taskmaster, perhaps?
Over the top taskmaster.
I have no idea. I don't...
He had a plan for them, for their tennis career when he was 6 years old. When they were 6 years old.
Okay, there's Will Smith, and there's
images,
Dad.
Richard Williams.
I'm hearing a real loud drill taking place.
Can't wait for it to come.
Well,
right,
so all you
got to
do is make Will's hair a little whiter, and you got your actor. What's the problem?
And it's Will Smith.
Yeah.
He can play anything.
He can have any role he wants.
Right. He's great.
I'm looking at Will's.
Not black enough.
I'm looking at Will's
upbringing. Black enough for you.
His dad was a U.S. Air Force veteran.
Whose upbringing?
Will Smith.
What does that have to
do
with
anything?
Just
to see what his background is and if he had a struggle.
Yeah.
A private Catholic elementary school in Philly. It looks like he had a really good upbringing, and I don't know why.
Well, I'm happy that he has.
Well, I'm just saying his career has been, he's had a very good career. He's been a clean actor for the most part. And
Matt, you don't get it. Colorism matters. And he's not black enough.
He's not black enough for you.
Should we stick with black people? My people?
I am. I'm behind black people.
My people?
I'm going to. Yes.
Darnell Bird McPherson. And Darnell is a female name in this case.
Okay.
Do you know that in the South, Douglas is a female name?
Really?
I think so. Well,
do you go by Dougie if you're female?
Well, I had a good friend whose mom's name was Douglas.
Douglas.
Yeah, from Atlanta area. Darnell Bird McPherson, the volunteer mayor of Lamar, South Carolina, said she was a hate crime victim after finding a yellow, sticky substance that seemed to have been sprayed on her car last month.
Okay.
And she immediately jumped to the conclusion that she must be the victim of a hate crime.
Why would this be?
McPherson had returned to her home Feb 7 and told, what did she tell? Some magazine down there. She told some magazine that her husband went out to the car to get some things out of the garage. He said, somebody painted your car. It was a grainy substance like industrial spray foam used to patch concrete. Oh, the magazine was Newsweek. And looked like little pebbles. The stuff was on her husband's car as well. McPherson told Newsweek that she likened it as a hate crime because, number one, there's a history of racism in our town of Lamar. In a statement to WPETV, the mayor said, during the 70s, crosses were burned in the yard of our home when my mother was involved with the civil rights movement on this very same corner in this very same yard. So she jumped from this substance on her car to horrible behavior 45 years ago.
Sure.
Police have a different explanation.
Oh, no.
Matt, you're not doing what I asked you to do before the show. Remember?
Let me find some paint sounders. Hang on a sec. Let me grab some of those. You're right. I forgot. Let me get some brushes.
I didn't want you to call it up because I was going to give you a test.
Oh, okay.
What do you think the stuff was on her car?
Well, the construction part. Oh, go ahead, Matthew.
I'm thinking tree sap.
Pollen. An incident report the magazine obtained said McPherson and her husband streaked fingers over their car's surfaces and realized it was not paint and that the substance could be removed with a finger similar to pollen. Her statement to WPDE noted the incident happened last night, even though I drove my car today. I thought it was pollen. My husband and our neighbor noticed the cars looked like someone had spray painted on both our vehicles, which were parked in our front yard. Nevertheless, McPherson told Newsweek, this is after she learns it's pollen, it ignited some fear in my spirit. My God, who would do that? It was something that was just unnerving to me. No words or symbols were drawn through the substance. And she said, and to me, that was the message. So she's really trying to
There's no message.
Cling to the idea that she was the victim of something here. Also, the executive director of the Darlington County First Steps, which aims... I don't know what that says. Has no possible motives for a person or people targeting her. Darlington County Sheriff's Office Lieutenant Robbie Kilgo told Newsweek that we found it to be pollen. There was no reason for us to even collect it as a sample. The incident report obtained by the magazine noted that a sergeant and a deputy immediately came to the conclusion that the substance had a yellowish tint to it and that it's a type of powder similar to pollen. A spokeswoman from the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division added to Newsweek that officials there looked at the report and decided against opening a formal investigation. Why not? Because we didn't think a crime occurred, the spokesman told the magazine. Nevertheless, McPherson told Newsweek the sticky substance is something and that it took two different solutions to get it off. Unfortunately, the mayor saved no examples before the cars were pressure washed twice the next day.
So pollen gets Newsweek coverage?
Yeah, apparently, yeah.
Wow.
Boy, these people are dangerous.
Imagine for a second that you're the cop in this scenario, or the sheriff, sorry, in this scenario, and you're thinking to yourself, I just wasted a half an hour on this. Honest to God.
You ever had pollen on your car?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure I have.
I have.
But what did you think it was?
I thought that was a victim of a hate crime.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Really?
I did. I thought maybe Betty McCollum was up to it.
Mr. Unbelievable, maybe?
Maybe somebody was out to get me, and there was pollen on my car. And I do remember this. One time I came out of the Grandview Theater at night.
I know what you're going to say.
Those stink plants.
Yes, the ginkgos.
Ginkgos had it smelled like throw up all over my car. And I thought I was a victim of a hate attack. I remember when that racist attack happened.
You were, what's that? A foul smell.
I think black people pelted my car with those ginkgo bulbs.
What are ginkgo? Why can't I picture it?
It's a tree that smells like throw up.
It's the oldest, it's the most ancient tree there is. And they, on and off years, they make a ginkgo ball. And it smells. It smells like vomit.
Ugh.
And they fall to the ground and people walk on them or drive over them. And for some reason in the city, you can treat them to not bear the fruit.
When I got home, I had to wash my car.
Yeah,
so there was no evidence for me to give the police, but I did feel that my life was threatened.
I think you had why don't you call Newsweek? Newsweek would have covered that.
I should have called somebody.
You can't just call the Highland Villager.
I'm pretty convinced it was racially based.
Oh, my God.
But, lady, once you find out it's pollen, why didn't you just shut up?
Realize how stupid you are.
Well, that's what I mean. There's a follow-up after with Newsweek?
Oh.
Well, we knew what it was, but I still felt the feeling I felt at the time before knowing it was I felt violated or nervous. That's what she said.
Mm-hmm. She felt that her spirit was in danger. Well, you have to take that up with nature, I guess.
Right.
Nature contributes a lot of pollen. Hey, one size rarely fits all anymore. That's why Federated Insurance tailors the insurance coverage you need to your specific business or industry. Their reps are the best in the business. They love that company, and you're going to end up loving that company. They offer property and casualty, life and disability income insurance to businesses in select industries. And their marketing reps get to know you. They get to know your operation, and that allows them to customize the coverage you need. Nothing extraneous. They'll take care of what you need in a customized way. Driving a significant part of your business, they'll talk to you about auto liability. Worried about a cyber attack? They'll talk to you about data compromise coverage. Your business is unique. They've been in business for about 111 years down in Owatonna. You need an insurance carrier who treats your business uniquely. Get in touch with a Federated Insurance marketing rep to see how their second-to-none service can help your business thrive. Federated Insurance, it's their business to protect yours. Say, do you realize we have a former Olympic medalist who has come forward to say biological men should not compete in women's sports? Oh, this is Sharon Davies.
Oh, I did see this.
She won a silver medal for Great Britain in the 1980 Summer Olympics, but she's accused now of hate speech.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the logical conclusion you can make from that.
But she's a trans.
Yeah.
This just came out with Martina Navratilova.
Because she got the treatment from everybody, from the LGBTQ RS community.
Yep. Davies, a 56-year-old former swimmer who won a silver for Great Britain in 1980, decided to take a public stand against biological males who identify as females competing in women's sports. I have nothing against anyone who wishes to be transgender, she tweeted. However, I believe there is a fundamental difference between the binary sex you are born with and the gender you may identify as. To protect women's sport, those with a male sex advantage should not be able to compete in women's sports. And just as tennis legend Navratilova got upgraded and even kicked out of an LGBTQRMNOPQRSTUVWXYZ advocacy group for saying the same thing last month, Davis is sticking to her guns as well. And doesn't it stand to reason? Men and women have different skeletal dynamics.
You are sexist.
No, they do. They're That's men fat. And women Correct. Are different.
Right.
In terms of how fast they can run, how fast they can mm-hmm. swim, mm-hmm. how high they can jump. The whole thing. Men and women are different. It has nothing to do with me indicting the LBGTQ, WMNOP, QRST, WKRP in Cincinnati.
Right.
It has nothing to do with that. I'm just saying, and here's Davey saying the same thing, you know, and Navratilova saying the same thing, and they get ripped for it. What the hell are we supposed to believe?
And what's the future? Maybe there should, okay, I'm not even, this isn't meant to be funny. Maybe there should be a transition gender in the Olympics.
Oh, there you go.
Men, women, and whether
like a third division.
Whether you have switched over one or two, this is if you this is your gender where you can compete.
You're on to something.
I don't know how it would work.
Remember
but,
how dumb you used to be?
Well, I'm better now.
You're better now.
Yes.
That's what's going to have to come to. All these little high school girls, I say little, all high school girls who are, you know, they're having diversity and inclusivity jammed down their throats. And then they go to the track meet and they're getting beat by two guys who claim to be female.
Sure.
That should apply to high school, too.
Yes.
A high school track and field meets or whatever, why not have a division for people who are identifying against their biological sex? So if you've got trans guys in high school or trans girls, why not have a division for those kids?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that inclusive?
Well, I don't know if that'll be inclusive in the eyes of some.
Really?
That's too logical.
And will they have to declare?
I am not a homosexual.
They would have to declare that. Yeah.
I still am not a homosexual.
No, this has nothing to do with being a homosexual, Pat. This has.
I am a homosexual.
Okay, thank you. Finally acknowledged.
I'm gay as a $6 bill,
that's
and
right.
I want to be in the Army.
All right, that's right.
We're not talking about the military.
And I want to be in the Army.
Why did he bring that up?
I don't know.
I don't know, but I like when he role plays like that.
I don't
you know?
Remember the context, you know, that came up. I think that's the answer. You go to the Olympics, and you should have divisions for transgendered athletes.
Division three. We got a track meet going, 100-yard dash. You know what?
Here's the men.
No hold.
Boom.
No holds
there
barred.
Goes the gun. There goes the men.
Yep.
Women.
Boom.
Boom. Boom. There goes the gun. There goes
Other?
The women. All others.
All others.
Boom.
What's
How
it fast
d- it's a
can
boom.
You run? Yes.
It's a boom. And they get a medal, too.
Yep.
Half a medal. About a half a medal.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's, well, you know. You think
I'm going half metal.
I think it would be watched more intently than the regular races.
It would be the most viewed Olympic event.
You'd have to watch. What's next? You know, with the big.
I'm old enough to remember the Russian and Polish women,
East Germans too.
East Germans. Who, you know, where you're talking Broomhilda.
You, right.
They were pumped so full of steroids that they,
Their
I don't
mustaches
know, I don't
were
know
thick.
What gender they were. I mean, so there's nothing new here. There's nothing new here. But I think what
Tiger meet tiger.
Right. I think what the international sporting life is going to have to come to is the acknowledgement that it isn't fair to a woman to compete against a biologically born male.
I agree.
And it isn't yep. fair to a thing to do it the other way around.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
In the community, so to speak.
Thank God we're not on the board.
No.
Yeah.
Well, GLers.
Hey.
Get ready for Saturday.
You're going to go shovel out? You're going to go prep? That's what you're doing. You're prepping.
15 inches of snow Saturday is what I heard. 6 to 8 during the day and 6 to 8 overnight.
And it's going to be a wet snow.
Yeah, don't touch it with a shovel.
Your snow thrower, your snow blower is going to spray some WD-40 on that prior to.
Okay, Mr. Garage Technician.
There it is. It is, bros.
What a tip.
There it is.
What a tip.
GarageLogic.com is my other tip where you can find out some great... Some of the back issues, the back podcasts of Garage Logic since we started prior to number 112 here.
This was number 112.
Yes, many, many more to come. So check them all out, GarageLogic.com. Rate us on Apple, iTunes.
And thank you, GLers, for these wonderful garage wood pictures. They're coming in from all over the world. They're fantastic.
At GL Podcast. Find us on Facebook. We'll catch you next time. Garage Logic Podcast Version.